Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Thank you to Tim Walz, Tampon Tim, because we found out Mr. Folksy, Mr. Calling Everybody Weird, takes the wife on the first date to seeing Falling Down with Michael Douglas. A film I like until it kind of gets involved with that Nazi guy and a store thing there. He rejects him ultimately, but there's some interesting stuff as he's going across L.A. to get to the denouement, trying to get back to his former wife. Then it's pretty violent at that point. I can't imagine going on that for a first date, but a curious choice.
8 views, but no votes. It seems people don't want
to. You know, it's a simple question, my God. How are we going to beat Harris, Dan, when she's attacking capitalism and people can't vote on this?
People are pondering, Dom.
They're pondering, yes. Yeah, so they ponder.
Deep inside themselves, too.
All right. You know, the way I'm building.
Oh, here we go. We got some results now. Yeah. Yes, 66.7%. No, 33.3% with a huge sampling size of 3 votes.
All right. I'm in the lead. Keep it going here. All right. This may be a backlash against Dan because of his supermarket comments here, I guess. But, or not supermarket, but applesauce.
Yeah, they're brought back Dan the Red.
Yeah.
But more of a communist right over here.
Yeah, that's right. All right. So what Harris is banking on today, what this is coming down to politically, is that this is the greatest vulnerability. She's distancing herself from Biden without condemning Bidenomics. So, again, I'm just talking politically, not even reality of the world. Got to keep tying her to Bidenomics in one way or another. Why didn't you recommend that? Why didn't you do some of these things? What's the evidence that you push for this? I mean, you were the border czar, after all. You're a prosecutor. Why didn't you in the Biden administration, or did you do that and you were rejected? Now, these are hard because she's not answering anything. She's not doing anything at all. The only interview was she and Walz were interviewing each other about white guy tacos or something. That's about the only thing we've seen. Now, Trump has to add to his repertoire. We know the strengths. In a debate, has to add to it the idea of a lot more detail to press her on this whole thing with price controls and all this. Tie it back to the Biden administration. Why didn't you do this stuff over the last number of years? In other words, you're trying to shake the premise that corporate America was driving this, because if they were, and you started to see that, why not go after them? Did Biden reject it? Did you not propose it? Why didn't you propose it? Even on CNN last night, here is, and this is another angle, Dan. I think she, if she believes in anything, she might believe in this. This is Cut 10. Here is Abby Phillip. Talking that Harris's price gouging plan sounds kind of like just a ploy.
One of the things that we learned about her policy that she's going to roll out is support for a ban on price gouging. Mm-hmm. Now, I think reasonable people would ask, what does that mean? What does that really mean? And how is the government going to be involved in it? Here's Noah Rothman in the National Review. He describes this policy as a rank pander to the economically illiterate. And despite the presence of many who fit that description in Congress, who understand that allowing the executive branch to functionally set prices is a brain dead idea that would only hurt consumers in the long run. I mean, is this just a ploy? Because it sounds kind of like it.
So you can play with both things here. Is this just pandering? She really doesn't believe it. And in fact, in a lot of ways, that might be a nice angle of approach rather than just the commie approach, which I don't think she's a communist. I don't think she really believes in anything, but she is a socialist in the end through the party and what she thinks will get ahead. So you can approach it with both angles. Little update from Dan's news desk, too, and I'll tell you why this is interesting, Dan. We got a text from a police source. What has Meek Mill done here?
Yeah, he has called out. This is yesterday. Meek Mill says, I want to ask Kamala Harris questions about her past as a DA, even if she had to be tough. All I hear is rumors of her. I'll ask her 3 questions about black and brown men going to prison and her views, and try to help her understand from a survival standpoint, point she may have never had to encounter.
My gripe with her is this. She was weak on violent crime, things of that nature. She went after two things. She went after marijuana. She was smoking herself in order to, what, gloss her image as a tough DA. And she went after all kinds of corporate interests, much of it unnecessarily, as attorney general. So Meek Mill, though, doesn't look like he'd step in and be with Trump or endorse Trump the way I read it. But if he did, now Trump has added somebody to his debate prep, which will be in Philadelphia, by the way, Tulsi Gabbard. I don't know that Trump can come at her in the manner that Tulsi Gabbard did during debate, but it's worth listening to somebody who's been successful in pushing back. And it's noticeable that after that debate, when Tulsi Gabbard brought up what we're talking about, that Harris did drop out. She was getting no traction. She was riding high when she went after Biden as a racist. But when she had to defend at all, she's not good at it. She's not used to it. She's never had to do it. She's advanced without having to defend anything. So if I had to, I still don't see her doing an interview. And if she can't find a softball interview out there that she thinks is softball enough, that's pretty remarkable. All right, so Meek Mill going after on this. But this is a major moment, a major day here. So we'll let me go to Russ in Willow Grove. I think Russ works in a grocery store. Hey, Russ. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us today.
Hey, what's up? How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I just want to say, you know, I usually listen to your show a lot, and I heard Dan going off about like grocery stores price gouging, and I guess he's I believe he's way off. I worked at the grocery store for about 35 years. I worked about three different companies. And they're not price gouging at all. I mean, their markup's probably like 1% to 2%. They're trying to just stay afloat. If somebody had a great idea, they could undercut one of them and probably take over the market. So I do not believe that it's the grocery store.
Okay, well, Russ, I'll let Dan respond. I would just say, I think
it's your government.
Yeah, his point, Dan's, is that the price is already set that the grocery store has to meet. In other words, there's a monopoly on certain products. Dan,
I think you could verify that. Like, say Kraft has, you know, ketchup or mustard. The grocery store doesn't have much of a choice as to how much they can, you know, undercut Kraft there. They're the ones, they're the conglomerates, these corporations that are...
But Kraft is raising the prices sometimes because of the distribution of getting the products around.
But
I mean, you have gas prices going up and you have to adjust for all that stuff. You know what I mean?
So no, it's understandable, but I also think like we can't turn a blind eye to the fact that CEOs have indeed skyrocketed, you know, their income, and there's a lot going on with corporations where is all this money going, and why is the, you know, prices of their products going up so much? And then there's a conversation about monopolies and such, and you know, you make a great point. If a company wanted to come in and undercut the product and sell it for cheaper, they could. But the reality is, the way it's set up currently in our country is there are so many monopolies and there's so little companies owning these, you know, conglomerates, essentially,
right.
That you can't get into it.
You're right about the monopolies, but the price gouging is a different thing than monopolies, okay? The monopolies are all over.
Well, they're able to price gouge because they're a monopoly, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, but let me interject here, Russ. Why didn't they do this before, Dan? Because they've had this grip. It's not that Kraft is just suddenly
got away with it. They got away with it during coronavirus, and they're able to exploit it.
Dan has a point with like how the CEOs are making a lot more money, this and that. And that has always been where, yes, they have a lot of risk, so they get a lot more pay because, you know, their job's always on the line. And you lose that job, you're there. You got Steve Bird, you know, that used to be with like Safeway and all that. And basically, he got into the Willow Grove area. They tried to bring the, you know, way that they ran the West Coast to the East Coast, and basically it went down. And then they ended up selling their stores, and it went to like Giant and all that. But the way they are price gouging is not. I mean, I work at the grocery stores, and most grocery stores are pretty much the same price around. The products are cheaper at other stores. You got Walmart that can buy a lot more products at a lot cheaper prices because they buy more in bulk. So they do undercut a little bit, but they can't undercut everything. Sometimes the other grocery stores can undercut on different products.
All right. Well, Russ, thank you. Thank you, Russ. Thanks very much. Well, look, I told you that This Today with Harris, to Russ's point and Dan's point here, this the grocery store part of this really hits home because everybody has experience with this. Almost everybody's a shopper. Everybody has a favorite place. Everybody's looking at the prices. So it's going to be a big moment. I'm not feeling really good. I need more from the Republicans on this. You know, you can't wish it away. You got to bury her. That's what I'm going to do on this. And I'm not sure that I see the nugget out there of how they're going to unwind this. Now, they have to wait to see exactly the way that she approaches it. But next 48 hours with Republicans on this, if she can diminish.
I think I know how he can do this.
Go ahead.
It turns into an issue of the establishment. For years upon years, Congress, Senate have turned a blind eye to utilizing the Sherman Antitrust Act to get in front of these mergers that have led us in this, you know, where we're at now. And you have Walz, who was in Congress. You have Kamala, who was in Senate, who could have done something about it. They did nothing about it. So turn it against the establishment and make yourself the anti-establishment candidate again.
Well, but okay, that's good. And it comes back to, though, with this, with the Biden administration, why did she propose these things before with Biden? Were they rejected? Now, she's not answering any questions, Dan, but that's what I would go with three or four follow-ups on that. Why did this occur to you just now? It gets at the idea this is pandering. Why wasn't this a policy before? How do we know that you really do it? Where's the evidence of that? I might take that tactic as much as socialism with this. All right, let me take a couple Steves here. Alan in Hamilton. Alan, who's your Steve?
Steve Reeves.
All right, tell us why you chose him.
He was a bodybuilder who transformed his popularity into films and became a movie star. And that was long before Arnold Schwarzenegger did the same thing.
That's a good angle. Yeah, he was the first one. And Greta in Gloucester. Greta, how have you been? Who's yours today?
Doing great. I'm on the beach in Ocean City.
Oh, there you go.
And they ought to check out the why the price of postage is up to 73 cents. I think it's about 7
here. Nicely played by, Steve Carlton, Dan.
Yeah.
You never saw him in his prime.
Nope.
The slider, oh, my God. Try even visualizing it, let alone hitting it.
Lives in a bunker now, right?
Oh, yeah, and he's a survivalist and all. Yeah, it'd be a great interview. I'd love to get Steve Carlton. Steve, tell us about the living off the grid. I don't know if he comes back for the Phillies thing or if they want him coming back.
He just wants to live
stuff.
A quiet life.
Yeah, exactly.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
His cultural background, his story, the pain he went through. You're not hill country. And it's a daddy's boy who got a big law firm, and the daddy was a governor, so he's governor now, you know? This type of stuff. That's what they're going for. But we know that Vice President Harris worked at McDonald's at one point. I'd like to check that out, how long, et cetera, but there we go. So we'll see today, though, a similar sort of appeal here. There's somebody out there, and the question maybe we should have started off with this. In the debate, or this with Harris, this whole appeal, rather than defending corporations or arguing the minutiae of this, which you can do, why post-COVID, let's say 21 into 22, something like that, Biden, or into 23, you're the top prosecutor, you're saying all this stuff today, why was that not proposed then to put a chill into corporate America to stop them from raising these obnoxious purchases? Why not do it then? Why was nothing done then? All right. So, Dan, I think Kamala Harris. Yeah, Kamala Harris is there. We'll jump in. I thought it was 2:45. Boy, I give her credit that she's actually early. That must mean she has a lot of nonsense to do today. She is finally going to give us a proposal, which apparently is to tax us a whole lot more.
Please have a seat. Mike D, I have to tell. So Mike D's Barbecue. Let me tell you, one of the biggest fans of Mike D's Barbecue. My husband, Doug Emhoff.
Wow. Not Waltz? It's not Waltz?
No, no.
And thank you, Mike, for sharing.
He likes white guy barbecue.
And
that's right. Tacos.
I'm just so sorry. All
right, Dan, maybe we should take a break. Then we'll get back to the actual economic plan after the cackle is gone. Let's dip in a little bit. Then we'll take more of your calls.
As president, I will be laser focused on creating opportunities for the middle class that advance their economic security, stability, and dignity. Together, we will build what I call an opportunity economy.
Okay.
An opportunity economy. An economy where everyone can compete and have a real chance to succeed. Everyone, regardless of who they are or where they start, has an opportunity to build wealth for themselves.
Sounds like
and
America
their children,
to me.
And where we remove the barriers to opportunity so anyone who wants to start a business or advance their career can access the tools and the resources that are necessary
government
to do so.
Okay, let's stop right there. So your whole party, the whole deal is based on, and I've said this many times, the Republican Party has to say, we are the party of convenience, up and down the line. Convenience, no red tape, getting out of the way, staying out of the way. They're not. They're the party of regulation, which ties this stuff up continuously. Let's hear a little of the grocery store now.
I will focus on cutting needless bureaucracy and unnecessary regulatory red tape. And encouraging...
The crowd likes red tape. They're Democrats.
And encouraging innovative technologies while protecting consumers. And creating a stable business environment with consistent and transparent rules of the road. As president, I will bring together labor with small businesses and major companies to invest in America, to create good jobs, achieve broad-based growth, and ensure that America continues to define the future and lead the world.
All right. Well, you don't fully believe in traditional America when we did that. The other thing is, Dan, here, she uttered the phrase, rules of the road. You're going to hear that, I predict, throughout this speech. That means more government telling you what you can charge and what's over the line, etc. I just see the angle of attack here. Why is it this was not proposed when you believed that corporate America was gouging? When the price gouging was happening, when did that happen? What did you do about it? You're the prosecutor. You're talking about it today. Was it that the Biden administration wouldn't let you do it? All right, we're looking for an all-time Steve or Stevens here. This is a big deal today that she's finally, even though we're getting the boilerplate now.
She's now delving into the specificities of groceries.
Okay, let's hear that.
A loaf of bread cost 50% more today than it did before the pandemic. Ground beef is up almost 50%. Many of the big food companies are seeing their highest profits in two decades. And while many grocery chains pass along these savings, others still aren't. Look, I know most businesses are creating jobs, contributing to our economy, and playing by the rules.
What rules?
But some are not. And that's just not right. And we need to take action when that is the case.
Why not do it now?
Yeah. Why not have done it before? Did it just occur to you? Do it right now. Take the action now. Show us now so we can vote on this.
As Attorney General in California, I went after companies that illegally increased prices, including wholesalers that inflated the price of prescription medication, and companies that conspired with competitors to keep prices of electronics high.
Panasonic again.
I won more than $1 billion for consumers.
It was half a billion. I researched it.
I like this Mystery Science Theater 3000 version.
So believe me, as president, I will go after the bad actors.
Tell us who they are now. Tell us who the bad actors are. Tell us who they are.
And I will work to pass the first ever federal ban on price gauging on food.
Price gauging? What's a price gauge?
My plan will include new penalties for opportunistic companies that exploit crises and break the rules. And we will support smaller food businesses that are trying to play by the rules and get ahead.
She hired that person that's doing all this comment.
The enemy of small business.
The food industry become more competitive, because I believe competition is the lifeblood of our economy. More competition means lower prices for you and your families.
These Democrats are not liking some of this stuff for some reason.
Yeah, a little tepid
Donald
in the applause.
Yeah. To do.
Oh, here we go.
He wants to impose what is, in effect, a national sales tax on everyday products and basic necessities that we import from other countries. That will devastate Americans. It will mean higher prices on just about every one of your daily needs.
Making that up.
A Trump tax on gas. A Trump tax on food.
Wow, what a deflection from the inflation that you caused, Kamala.
A Trump tax on clothing. A Trump tax on over-the-counter medication. And, you know, economists have done the math. Donald Trump's plan would cost a typical family $3,900 a year.
That's chump change versus what you've cost.
Right.
At this moment, when everyday
prices clearly doesn't know if
terror's
worth either.
High, he will make them even higher. As president, I'll attack and take on the issue of the cost of health care. As attorney general, I took on insurance companies.
Okay, we're back reverting. Yes. Thank you,
and
Dan.
And got them
yes.
to lower their prices.
Yeah, I was interested in the groceries. This is a very tepid audience here, though. Maybe there's hope. Not only that, Dan, can you save that line there about the small business part? It was just a little while ago. Just save it. I'm going to maybe play it on Monday. Here's the reason why. By any instinct that I have, in the polling that I've seen, if Harris and the Democrats are the champion of small business versus the big corporate interest, why is it a matter of fact, I believe, that the average small business person is Republican / conservative, not a Democrat? By and large, the numbers would bear me out. Why is that if they're the champion of the small business person? In fact, they are dead weight, the small businesses, because of regulation, DEI components, all kinds of things that small business, in fact, Obama, you didn't build that. Warren, what about the roads we built for you? What about the great public schools?
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3, from Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.